Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Happy All Saints Day. As last week, today isn't actually All Saints Day itself. We just celebrate it on this Sunday. All Saints Day is actually November 1st, the day after Halloween. Halloween being All Hallows' Eve, which is just the night before All Saints Day. So, just like we celebrate Reformation Day on the Sunday before the holiday itself, we celebrate All Saints Day on the Sunday after the holiday. All Saints Day is one of the most beloved Christian holidays, and for good reason. Today is the day that we remember and give thanks for the lives of the saints who have died before us and have gone ahead of us to be with Jesus until the last day. We also remember, of course, that we too are saints. And that, unless our Lord comes back before we die as well, that we will one day join him and those who have gone before us. But what exactly does it mean to be a saint? You've likely heard many and various uses of this word. The Romans tend to use it to mean those Christians who are really good at being Christian. So good, in fact, that they can even pull off miracles after they have died. Others use it as a mascot for their football team. Hopefully, you realize that neither of these are what saints truly are. To put it simply, to be a saint is to be a Christian. Or, to put it another way, to be a saint is to be a child of God. That's how our epistle reading for today speaks of sainthood. And that's how we're going to be talking about it today. Listen, therefore, to the first verse of our epistle reading for today. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. And this isn't like saying that, oh, this is like the general kind of love. This is John saying, this is the exact type of love that God has given to us. What type of love is it? It's the love of a father for his children. He has made it so that we can, in fact, be called the children of God. He has declared we are his sons and daughters. And we know how he made this happen as well. We know that this is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus became a human, so that we, as humans, could become his children. This is why he died on the cross, in order to make it possible that we could be members of his family. And this is why he rose, to prove that it worked, to prove that we are, in fact, called his children. But notice here that John does an interesting thing because he says that we should be called children of God. And the very next thing he says, and so we are. That is to say that we aren't just called his children. It's not like he just put a label on us and said we are his, although he did do that. He has, in fact, sealed us with his name and has called us ours. But he did more than that. He actually made us into his children. And when did he do this? He did it at baptism. The very time when he actually put your name, his name, on you. So now it is your name. This is why baptism is so treasured by us. Because we recognize that in our baptisms, we have been made the children of God. And of course, we know all of the wonderful benefits that come from that. In baptism, we are washed clean. We receive the inheritance and the promise of the inheritance that's going to come. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the Holy Spirit, we receive faith. All of these things that we receive in baptism are just parts of being his family. But we do also recognize that part of being his family is that We are no longer a member of the family of the world. And so the world doesn't know us anymore. The world doesn't recognize us anymore. We are now strangers in this world. And that can be very difficult because we don't like to be strangers in this world. And so sometimes we can long to sort of reach back to that, to go back to being a member of the family of the world. And oftentimes it just doesn't work because we're sitting there and we're like, you really think like that? Or you really are going to do that? And it just doesn't work when you're a child of God. But of course, we also recognize that we are still, in fact, here in this world. We still live here, and of course, we still have that original sin inside of us. And so we know that there is a fulfillment to come as well. And John continues to talk about that in the second verse here. So listen as we hear that verse. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We recognize that we are not yet what we will be. We recognize that here, now, we still have that original sin that pushes us to go back and be a member of the family of the world. We recognize that we, in our true nature as his children, have not yet appeared. And yet, we also recognize that we have an image of what this looks like. We have been given an example of what does it look like to be a resurrected child of God. Because we know that when Jesus appears, that we're going to be like he is. Which is to say that we shall be able to see him as he is. Which is a very interesting way of saying it. That we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. And why do we know this? Because we know that we're going to see him as he is. The idea here is that we're going to be able to see Jesus and we're going to be able to see his true nature. That is, the nature of him as both a human and the Son of God, together as one, glorified in what he has done. And because we see this, we're going to be like him, only without the divine nature part. So we'll be able to see our human nature glorified the way it was supposed to be, perfected. And how much we look forward to that day. But John isn't quite done with us yet. And so he continues on and says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." We have this idea in Scripture that we're supposed to be doing things. And one of those things is that we're supposed to be purifying ourselves. Which purifying is just a way of saying making clean, right? Or making holy. But how do we do that is the question. How do we purify ourselves? How do we make ourselves holy? And John tells us here, right? Everyone who thus hopes in him. So what is this thus? What is this hope that we have in him? And it's exactly what he was just talking about. That we know that we are his children. That we hope for the day to come when we will be able to actually look like his children. That full appearance as members of his family will be true for us and will appear in us. And we long for that day and hope for that day to come. We also hope for the day to come when we shall be like him. That is to say, when we shall be resurrected like he was and glorified as he was. That we will be raised up to the positions that he, Christ, earned for us. And last, but most certainly not least, that we shall see him. We hope for the day, we long for the day when we will be able to see our Savior with our own eyes, when we will be able to stand in his presence to thank him, to glorify him, to worship him for all of the gifts that he has given us. It is in this hope that we are able to purify ourselves. It is in looking forward to these things that he has promised us that we are able to receive the gift of holiness. The saints who have gone before us have had their hopes fulfilled. They are, in fact, now with Jesus. They are with him as his brothers and sisters, as members of the family of God, and they are now able to see him. This is what Christ achieved for us when he died on the cross for us. It's what he proved was true when he rose from the dead as the first fruits of the resurrection. This, the ultimate good work, the sacrifice of the innocent lamb, of the very Son of God, showed us just how far our family was willing to go for us. Christ, who had every right to simply leave us in the darkness of our sin, instead, chose to give us his inheritance, to give us the salvation that he had earned, to give us the right to become children of God. Then, because he wasn't done yet, he gave us the very thing that makes us children of God. He gave us baptism. Baptism that washes us clean, that purifies us. Baptism in which God breathes life into our dead selves. It is this very same baptism in which God puts his name and his seal upon us. In baptism, he made us his children. And now that is who we are. Here and now you are God's children. You are his saints. And so we ought not be surprised that the world doesn't recognize us. We aren't of this world anymore. We're different. We're strangers here, which can be difficult for us. We don't like being strangers. We don't like being different. We desperately want to fit in. We feel like if we don't fit in, that we'll be alone in this world. But the truth is that we are never alone. We are now the children of God, and God will never leave us alone. Christ lives inside of us along with the Holy Spirit. And as if that weren't enough, he also gave us brothers and sisters who are living in the same very situation that we are. Who know what it's like to be strangers in this world, just like our older brother Jesus knows. Brothers and sisters who can gather around each other and who can lift each other up in prayer. God knew that things were going to be difficult for his saints in this world. And so he made sure to give us what we needed to live here until he either takes us to be with him or comes back down here to get us. He gave us his word, the very same word which declared us to be his children. He gave us his very body and blood to sustain and nourish our faith while we live here. A time when we could come together as a family for a meal. Both those of us who are here on earth now, but also those who are with Jesus now. And of course, he gave us baptism. The time in our life that we can point to and say, there, that's when God made me his child. That's when he brought me into his family. Because of that, because of my baptism, I know that God will one day bring me to be with him. That's my hope. May God continue to be with us and continue to give us the hope in him that purifies us. And now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.